Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Welcome to The Deep Dive, where we take a stack of sources, articles, and research and give you the essential shortcut to being well-informed. Today, we are wading into the really complex world of human chorionic gonadotropin, or HCG. This molecule has a fascinating, almost Jekyll and Hyde existence. It's both a precise tool in high-stakes clinical medicine and, at the same time, the subject of this persistent and, frankly, dangerous health controversy.
It really is a remarkable molecule. Fundamentally, HCG is a glycoprotein hormone. It's produced by the placenta during pregnancy. In medicine, we use it as an injectable prescription medication, mainly because of its powerful actions in stimulating other hormone pathways.
And that's our setup. Our mission for this deep dive is to unpack that dual identity. We're going to investigate the established evidence-based applications, the good side, if you will, and then stack those against the unsupported off-label claims that have attracted some serious regulatory scrutiny. You need to know the clinical reality of HCG, and we're going to dive right in, starting with the mechanics that make this molecule so effective in the first place.
Okay, so to really understand why HCG is used as a drug, we have to look at its target. It acts via the luteinizing hormochorionic gonadotropin receptor, or the LHCGR. Essentially, HCG is designed to mimic the actions of luteinizing hormone, LH.
And here's where it gets really interesting, because this mimicry, it's not perfect. It's actually, well, it's a superpower. When the body needs a crucial hormonal signal, like the one that triggers ovulation, it uses the natural LH surge, but LH is designed to clear out of the system very, very quickly once its job is done.
Exactly. Native LH is transient. It's a flash in the pan. But HCG, because of its molecular structure, has a significantly longer half-life than the body's native LH. It just lingers in the bloodstream.
And that extended presence, that's not a flaw.
No, not at all. It's the entire reason HCG is such a valuable therapeutic agent.
So when clinicians need to make sure a specific hormonal action is, you know, guaranteed to complete, especially in delicate fertility protocols, they use the long-lasting HCG because its signal just persists. It guarantees that final stage of maturation, which the native LH might not.
Right. And just add one more layer of complexity. For those really interested in the biology, there are distinct isoforms of HCG. These different versions are they're relevant to understanding the dynamics of early implantation and pregnancy. Just highlights how complex its role is beyond simple hormone replacement.
Okay, so let's focus now on where that long-lasting signal is an absolute clinical requirement. The established medical practice in women's health. The primary indication for HCG is in assisted reproduction protocols. So we're talking about IVF or intrauterine insemination, IUI. It's the established trigger for final oocyte maturation and ovulation.
That's its bread and butter. You need a reliable, sustained signal to push those final stages of egg development toward release. Standard dosing usually involves injecting between 5,000 and 10,000 international units. That's delivered either intramuscularly or subcutaneously.
And the dosing can vary, right?
Oh, definitely. We have to differentiate. Recombinant HCG, which is made in the lab, has different dosing guidelines than the older urinary-derived versions.
The efficacy is clear, but that long, robust signal, it comes with a major acknowledged trade-off. One that clinicians manage constantly. I'm talking about the risk of ovarian hyperstimulation syndrome, or OHSS. Can you explain why that is the key downside here?
Mm-hmm. OHSS is a potentially severe complication. It involves really dangerous fluid shifts. the long-acting presence of HCG on the ovaries causes this persistent stimulation, leading to enlarged ovaries, swelling, and, well, the dangerous leakage of fluid into the patient's abdomen, even their chest.
Wow.
And because HCG is so long-lasting, it can sustain that pathological process for days, even weeks. This is why HCG administration for the trigger shot is recognized as a primary driver of moderate to severe OHSS.
Okay, so how do clinical practice guidelines mitigate such a serious risk?
The strategies are crucial, especially for what we call high responder patients.
Like women with polycystic ovary syndrome, PCOS.
Exactly. Women with PCOS who are already highly sensitive. For them, clinicians might use lower HCG doses or combine it with other drugs in a dual trigger. But critically, there is a widely adopted alternative, the GnRH agonist trigger.
What's the difference there?
The difference comes right back to our first point, the half-life. A GnRH agonist trigger forces the body to create a surge of its own native LH. And that native LH surge clears out of the system very rapidly, usually within 24 to 36 hours.
I see.
That fast clearance dramatically lowers the OHSS risk while still triggering ovulation effectively. It's a life-saving option for those high-risk patients.
So we focused on how this long-lasting LH mimic is used to start a pregnancy in women. But ironically, that exact same mechanism is what makes it uniquely valuable for men who need to preserve fertility. Let's shift gears. What's the clinical role of HCG in men?
Its primary role is for men dealing with hypogonadism, so low testosterone, who specifically want to maintain their ability to conceive. Or it's used for men seeking to restore spermatogenesis after, say, previous use of anabolic steroids.
That seems almost counterintuitive. If a man is receiving an injected hormone, wouldn't that typically shut down his own production and act as a contraceptive? Standard testosterone therapy, TRT, definitely does that.
You've hit on the core distinction. You're exactly right. Standard TRT works centrally. It tells the brain that testosterone levels are high, which then suppresses the production of LH and FSH from the pituitary gland.
And without LH and FSH, sperm production stops.
It grinds to a halt. So standard TRT does act like a contraceptive.
But HCG bypasses that central signal.
Precisely. Because HCG is an LH mimic, it acts directly on Leydig cells in the testes. By stimulating these cells, it drives the production of testosterone inside the testes, maintaining that high local concentration you need to keep spermatogenesis going. That's why it's fertility sparing. And this is a mechanism supported by clinical series and prospective studies.
So instead of replacing testosterone from the outside, you're using HCG to make the body produce its own in the right place to maintain sperm viability. What's the standard regimen for that, and what kind of monitoring is needed?
Dosing for men is generally low, often administered multiple times a week to mimic the natural pulse patterns of LH. And comprehensive monitoring is absolutely non-negotiable. Clinicians have to track hormone levels, testosterone, but also LH and FSH, and critically monitor semen parameters regularly.
And what's the expectation management? Is it a quick fix?
No, absolutely not. Restoring spermatogenesis can be a very slow process, sometimes taking many months. This is vital to communicate to the patient. It requires patience and consistent monitoring.
All right, now we have to address the elephant in the room, the infamous HCG diet. This is where the story shifts entirely from precision medicine to, well, aggressive and unsupported marketing hype. This is where that dual identity really takes hold.
It really does. The use of HCG for weight loss is the high-profile, highly controversial, off-label claim that has caused so much public health concern. To understand why it persists, you have to go back to the 1950s and a Dr. Albert Simians. He's the one who first proposed it.
What was the original myth? What did he claim HCG was actually doing?
The theory claimed that HCG would selectively reset the metabolism, and most importantly, that it would allow the body to burn specific, quote, abnormal fat deposits while protecting muscle mass. This supposedly allowed patients to survive comfortably on a dangerously low 500 calorie per day diet.
Which is the core of the HCG diet plan.
Exactly. And that specific claim that the hormone itself causes appetite suppression or selective fat loss, that's the central lie that randomized trials have just systematically dismantled over and over again.
So the clinical consensus from places like the Mayo Clinic is starkly clear. The weight loss people see on the HCG diet is entirely from the severe calorie restriction.
100%. There is zero evidence demonstrating an HCG effect beyond the diet itself. You take away the injection but keep the 500 calorie diet, the results are identical. The only thing the HCG adds is expense and risk.
Which brings us to the regulatory action. HCG is explicitly, formally not approved for weight loss.
Not at all. And regulators have not been quiet about this. The FDA and the FTC have been highly proactive since around 2011. They've issued numerous public advisories, warning letters, all targeting companies marketing these over-the-counter or homeopathic HCG products for weight loss.
Things like drops or pellets.
Right, which are medically baseless ways to deliver a protein hormone anyway.
And this wasn't just administrative action. We've seen actual criminal enforcement.
That's right. There have been criminal enforcement actions against distributors selling misbranded HCG products under these fraudulent weight loss claims. The key takeaway for you, for the public, is that the regulatory stance is unified and absolute. This use is unsupported, illegal, and potentially dangerous.
Okay, so given that we have this molecule used in highly monitored settings and then also purchased unregulated off the internet, let's talk about the safety profile. In a controlled setting, like fertility treatments, what are the common adverse events?
In a controlled, monitored setting, HCG is usually well tolerated. The adverse events are often mild. You're looking at things like injection site reactions, maybe some transient mood changes, or headaches. Pretty standard stuff.
Now contrast that with the risks from unregulated use for weight loss. This is where the lack of oversight really starts to cause serious harm.
Absolutely. The risks increase dramatically when the product is unmonitored or unapproved. We've seen reports of rare but severe adverse events, most notably thromboembolic events, so blood clots, specifically in patients using these unregulated HCG products.
Often from these pop-up weight loss clinics without proper oversight.
Precisely. The danger is twofold. You have an ineffective, expensive product being taken, and the delivery of that product is happening completely outside of established medical safety frameworks.
So the regulatory guidance for clinicians is pretty clear.
Oh, it's crystal clear. You must only use FDA-approved forms of HCG for established indications, fertility, male hypogonadism, and you must actively counsel patients against using any unregulated over-the-counter products marketed for weight loss.
So what does this all mean when we tie it all together? We've got this one molecule, HCG, that generates wildly divergent opinions depending on who you ask.
The consensus is perfectly segmented. It's fascinating. From the perspective of reproductive endocrinology groups like the American Society for Reproductive Medicine, ASRM-HCG is still an indispensable, reliable mainstay trigger.
Mm-hmm.
But their consensus explicitly mandates that its use must be highly individualized to aggressively reduce that OHSS risk we talked about.
Right, through lower dosing or strategic patient selection.
Exactly. Then you have the andrology specialists, the male reproductive health experts. They view HCG as an extremely valuable, fertility-sparing alternative for men managing low testosterone who want to become fathers. For them, it's a tool of preservation.
And then the third group.
And finally, you have the consensus from public health and regulatory bodies, the FDA, the FTC. Their view is the sharpest. Any product containing HCG marketed for weight loss is unsupported by science, it's based on historical falsehoods, and it poses a serious safety risk. The story of HCG is just a textbook case of a high-efficacy, targeted clinical agent being overshadowed by aggressive, dangerous market misuse. At the end of the day, for anyone in the medical field or anyone seeking this treatment, the final practical consideration is just diligence and clear communication. That means rigorous documentation and comprehensive informed consent for any off-label uses. And based on the evidence, that should be a full stop on prescribing HCG for weight loss. Clinicians should only be referring patients seeking weight management to establish evidence-based programs, not to these unsubstantiated hormone therapies.
That brings a necessary clarity to the whole conversation. Now, here is a provocative thought for you, the listener, to mull over long after this deep dive ends. We established that HCG is so effective at stimulating testosterone in men because it mimics LH activity, but with a significantly longer half-life. So considering that this persistent, prolonged signaling is so crucial for success, what are the broader physiological implications of that extended LH-like activity in non-reproductive settings? Might understanding the duration and persistence of HCG signal change how researchers design and look at entirely new, long-acting hormone signaling therapies, maybe in areas like regenerative medicine or even muscle wasting?
That potential for developing synthetic molecules with intentionally prolonged half-lives, using HCG as a template, is a really fascinating thread for future research. It's a great way to end this.
Thank you for diving in with us today. We'll see you next time.